Lord, you overcame sin. You overcame sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. If you are sick in any way, Jesus says, Jesus is the healer. He is the deliverer. In His presence, all get healed, all get delivered. The presence of God is here. If you want to be healed, come forward. We're going to anoint you. You can just say what your disease is. We'll pray for you, a short prayer of faith, and you'll be healed in the name of Jesus by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's people with blood sickness, if you have depression, there's a spirit of heaviness upon you. If there's maybe you've got a headache, or more than a headache, but migraines that doesn't stop. If you've got back problems, your knees. If there's any disease, is there anything that you are so afraid of because this might overcome you? Step forward. And the Bible says if there's any disease, come forward. Let the elders pray for you and you will be healed. The prayer of the righteous avails much. If there's anyone that needs healing, maybe there's a virus or there's skin, come forward that we can pray for you. There's not only one person, there's many. Don't be afraid of the presence of God to be healed in the name of Jesus. If you need healing, come now. Just come and stand here that the elders can pray for you. Just anoint them and pray for them. Lord, thank you that by your stripes we are healed, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. Thank you that you are the healer, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that we can stand in faith, Lord, and know that you are an awesome, wonderful God, Lord, that you heal in the name of Jesus. Who can see they've been healed? Can you just raise your hand? Who received your healing? Can I just see a hand at least? Hallelujah. There's one person, there's two people. Praise Jesus because God heals. It's not because we pray, but it's because God heals. In Jesus' name. And Father, I just want to come before you, Lord, and just say thank you because you are an awesome, wonderful God, Lord. And Father, I'm just so convicted, Lord, if you can heal us in a moment, Lord, how much more can you not do for us? You created the heavens and earth, Lord. You created the stars, that there are stars who are so big that when you put the sun next to that star, you can't even see the sun. Yet you spoke and these things came to be. Lord, but you've given these stars names. We don't even have enough words in all the languages on earth to name the stars, but yet you've given them names, Lord. You are an almighty God, and there's nothing in this world, Lord, that can prevent you from doing mighty works in our lives, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for all of us to walk in faith, Lord, to understand the favor of God on our lives, Lord, to understand what it means to be blessed by God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you that you are a good God. Thank you, Lord, that you love us because we are your children, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we can know you, Lord, and that we can know your presence brings breakthrough in people's lives. Your presence brings healing. Your presence changes people that they will never be the same. Once you've been in the presence of Jesus, you will never be the same. You'll never have a desire for the world. You will just desire Jesus with all that you have. Everything will be for the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not fight these things. And I just believe that you're saying, come to me. Come to me, draw near to me. In my presence, you will be set free. You'll walk in absolute liberty. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. You will love like I love. You will understand what the peace of God means in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just have this message that I really believe God has given me about God's favor and what it means to understand what God's favor is. In Proverbs 3, is probably the best scripture to me in the Old Testament. Verse 4 says, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. So not only God, but to have favor from man, I think that is quite amazing. Because we as Christians many times believe that, God loves me, but my whole world is terrible in my life. And when there's a promotion, and I believe God's favor with man and God. If there's a promotion and five people must be promoted, if you have favor, you will get that promotion. if there's a contract that must come through and there's five people tendering or companies, your company will get it because of favor of God and of man. I really believe that there's something that we're missing as Christians, that we don't understand the favor of God on our lives. And the favor means because we are blessed. And when we someone needs, you can bless you. You don't understand. It means bless. May God bless you. What does it mean? But it means that God's favor and His God's favor be upon you, but also the favor of man be upon you. Wouldn't that be amazing if you walk in a place where you are, God's favor and man's favor is upon you. That you don't have to suffer stuff unnecessarily because of God's favor upon your life. Now, how do you get to this? In Proverbs 3 verse 1, I don't know if you want to just open it, but it talks about God's teaching. Don't forget His teaching. Keep my commandments. If you do this, your days will be lengthened. Your years will be added. So you will have added to your life years. So you'll, instead of only getting 70, you'll become 80 or 90 years old because of the favor of God on your life. Because you keep His commandments. You don't forget the teaching of God. And you will experience peace. Peace will be added to you. Then verse 3 says, let not a steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. We must hold it with us. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways and He will make your way straight. I really believe this is what God is wanting to do for us as Christians. Now, just favor, being blessed. What came to mind is Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, blessed are those. So I just went to go and read it. And it starts off with Jesus going through all Galilee, and He was teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And He healed every disease, every affliction amongst the people. And His fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought Him all the sick, all those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and He healed them. And then these crowds came to Him. Now they were open to hear from Him. This week, Tuesday, we were praying and we were saying, what are we going to pray for the fast? And I think Lucille said, we must pray for the Paralympics. And then Kurt said, but we mustn't pray too hard. Just now God heals them. So and we just joke, Sofa did it again. The Paralympics cannot happen for South Africa anymore because they've been healed. But there's something about the presence of God that I really believe we must stand in faith for. I was invited to Makassar by LZ on this Friday just to go. There's 40 women and one man. And she said, we must just come and see. Just come and see. So I thought I'd get Gerard, boss Gerard, to be my bouncer because I use ego and 40 women by myself. I thought I need some backup. Only the guys who knew the ego advert will remember that this, what I'm joking about. I was just afraid that these women might jump upon me, 40 of them, and because I'm using ego. Okay, if you don't catch that now. But Beatrice and Belinda, they are the pastors from Clutisville. They also came with me, and they brought Louis. I don't know if you remember that guy that we did the outreach in Solaris Pass with, that Rastafarian guy. He came with this man. His father wanted to kill him. His own father wanted to kill him. He threw him out to live with the dogs, this man. And then he was in the gangsters, and he said there was a time that he couldn't take the blood anymore when men got stabbed in their throats, and the blood was, he just said, I can't do this anymore. So he became a Rastafarian, and when he was a Rastafarian, he got a blood disease. He got leukemia. He got cancer in the blood. And then he called on, what is that god of the Rastas? Jahwe. But he called on those gods, and they didn't know, and then he couldn't help him, and then he remembered that his mother always used to teach him the god of the Krepelis. In what he blindness genees it. And he said, if that God exists, I'm calling unto you. And God supernaturally healed him in one day of leukemia. And then he said, but he said, God, if you heal me, I will preach on the corners of the streets until I die. And he's now, this is 18 years later, he's a grandfather. terrible things has happened with this little boy. There was these men that wanted to put curses on him, and he had to run away. Many things have happened with him. Now he's with me. So I'm very confident that when Louis is here, the presence of God will be there. He knows all the tunes that people in Makassa could sing to, and he just has such an anointing on his life. But halfway through, I just get these four words of knowledge, and I say, Petrus, God is saying this to me. Should we wait? He said, no, share it. And as we shared it, I gave four words of knowledge. Suddenly, four people came forward. We started praying for them, and then God started healing people amazingly. And I got so excited with what God was doing, and people started coming forward. The one woman had arthritis all her life. We prayed for her, and she falls over. Tani Belinda, she prays for another lady. And now I'm like, oh my word, what God is doing something. And you're so excited, but you almost, because you just don't know. It's just not what I did. It's just, I didn't even pray. I just stopped there. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, that you're a good God. In the name of Jesus, we just ask for your protection in Jesus' name. That's all I prayed. I didn't even think of anything, but God just showed up. Lord Jesus Christ showed up, and people's life changed. My life changed more than anyone else, I really believe. But I really believe in the presence of God, people get healed. But at that moment, I could have told them anything because they believed what I would say, because God showed up. And this is where Jesus is. He comes, he heals all these sick, and then these great crowds follow him, and then they say, follow him, and he stands on the mountain, and then he starts speaking, and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, blessed means receiving God's favor. You are fortunate. You're in a position of favor. It means happy and feelings that is associated with being happy. That is what blessed means. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit is not, that's not poor in spirit, or someone who's not spiritually strong in the Lord. The poor in spirit is someone that have a positive moral quality of humility. It's a humility that you have, that you understand that God is everything. I don't have anything to offer God, and I'm reliant on the gifts of what God can do. It's all about Jesus. That is what meekness means. So you recognize your spiritual poverty, because we all need God. All of us need Jesus. We all need him. We understand that he's everything. We cannot depend on our own ability. We can only depend on who God is. It also means that you are teachable, that you're open for instruction. That is what meekness means. If someone shares with you, someone could be 12 years old, and he can speak into my life, that I'm open to receive from it. When we pray or whatever, and someone says, I have a word for you, you understand that God can be speaking, and God will always speak through people that you don't want to receive from, because he wants to test our hearts. That is how God works. He's funny that way, because he wants humbleness, he wants meekness in our hearts. A person who is poor in spirit pray all the time. They all ask God all the time, Lord, what do you think? What do I need to do? You acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your way straight. You understand God's grace. You understand that God's grace is sufficient for you, that we are so dependent on who God is. Then the next verse, verse 4, he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So sometimes we go through tough times and we mourn. Maybe your father or your mother or your wife or someone died, or you're going through tough times and you mourn. And God said, blessed are you when you mourn, because you will be comforted. And mourn means when you grieve for other people. Maybe you have sorrow to repent because of the things that is in your life that is not from God, and you repent of that mourning that you could have. But you can also mourn for the poor, for the unsaved, for the hungry, for the sick and the suffering. When you reach out, when Jesus had compassion on people, it was at mourning, and they will be comforted when we're in that place. When someone is suffering, that you don't say, Neman. Sometimes you need to do that. Rek yourself reg nie. But it's a place where you say, I hear what you're saying. I emphasize with you that you can be in that place. That, and from that place, you will be comforted. Sometimes it is a place where you have to say to someone, stand up, believe, trust in God. Now is the time to stand up. I'm seeing it with someone that's really taking strength, because they're resisting what God is saying. When we encourage her to, or this person to repent, she says, no, I won't repent. And then you fall in a cycle, or I won't forgive. You don't know what they've done to me. Sometimes you have to be strict with someone. I just, on the side, that I want to give that to you. then Matthew 5 verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now to inherit the earth, all that you can see is yours when you are meek. Now meek is actually what I got wrong a little bit earlier. This is not where I'm sorry that I live. This is someone who's got a positive moral quality of dealing with people in a kind manner. It's humility and consideration and gentleness to all people. So meekness means this is not a weakness. Meekness is not weakness. It's controlled strength. It is where Jesus says, if someone slaps you, turn the other cheek, because he knows he can do this and this person will fall 50 meters behind, because that's what he did in John when all those people came to arrest him. They asked him, are you Jesus Christ? And he said, I am. At that moment, all these people fell over, because Jesus knew what control and what power is. But it's a place where you have strength, you can control it. It talks more about humility and self-discipline than weakness. So meekness is a place where someone really upsets you and you can control yourself and say, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. If you're in that place, God says, you shall inherit the earth. There's 7 ideas of meekness that I just want to read to you, but it talks about gentle humility. It's a place or a position of strength. It's perfect inner man control, self-control. It's a resignation or an acceptance that all of God's dealings is good. That doesn't matter what happens to you, you understand that God is good, God is faithful, and that whatever is happening to me now, God will turn out for the best for us because we believe Him. That doesn't matter what you go through, that God will turn this around because God is good. And this is really something that we must stand in faith and we must proclaim, especially when you're going through tough times. It's a receptiveness or an openness. It's a friendliness. It's a being approachable. Always being that people can approach you because of that meekness. It's a patient endurance where you can endure and endure and endure and not saying, oh, when is this going to stop? That is not meekness. And fortitude, which means endurance or having guts or durability, standvastigheid in Afrikaans. So if you have that, you will inherit the earth. Then verse 6 of Matthew 5 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If you want to be completely satisfied, you must hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, righteousness means what is right. It means justice. The act of doing what is in agreement with God's standard. It's also a state of being in proper relationship with God. If your relationship with God is exactly how it should be, as God has determined it, you would be righteous. But Galatians 3 verse 6 says, just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. So his faith in God counted to him as righteousness. Verse 9 of Galatians 3 says, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Then verse 11 says, now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. And then verse 14 says, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So righteousness is doing good, but that you understand that you can't do right according to God if you don't have faith. If you don't go to God in faith, that in God, and that's what the grace is, God gives us the power to become righteous. So in Christ, we become the righteousness of God. If we are in that place, we will be satisfied. So this talks about seeking God with everything that you have, to surrender completely to God in that place, you will be satisfied. So it talks about the grace of God gives us the ability to live holy, to be healed, to be righteous, to be all these things. That is what grace means. God gives us the power by His Spirit to become these things. Then verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So mercy means to take pity on another person who's in serious need. It's the focus on the act of kindness that will help the need of a person in need. This word means active compassion, being sympathetic, to have a sensitive word for someone. This combines tendencies and emotion with action. So if you can feel sorry for someone, but you can also do something for that person. That is what mercy means. Then the word charity and philanthropic relief finds its origin from this Greek word. So if we have mercy, we will receive mercy. Blessed, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure means cleanliness, means innocence, clean, clear, purity. Heart is your soul, your life. So it means this talks about your thoughts, the things that you look at. All of that influences our purity. If you are pure in heart, you shall see God. And I think this is something also that we must come and draw into God, because only God can make us pure. We cannot do it by ourselves. We don't have the ability. But in Jesus, we become pure. That God starts cleansing who we are, what we look at. And, you know, some for the men, Job prayed. He said to God, God, I make a covenant with my eyes not to look unto another woman as I should not do. And that's a place of what God is saying to us, that we must be pure in heart because of what we take in through our eyes, what we take in through what we eat or we drink, or maybe through our veins. God wants us to be pure. 1 John 2 says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. So God wants us to be completely pure from that. In verse 9, I said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. There's a difference between a son of God and an orphan. An orphan is someone who will always, his whole life, struggle to feel accepted. But a son is someone that is planted. A son is someone that doesn't matter if what the father had said to him, he will understand that his father loves him. It's a place of being accepted in the world. It's a place of confidence because he knows who his father is. It is a very important principle in being a Christian, but to be that, we must be peacemakers. And being a peacemaker, there's a difference between being a peacekeeper and being a peacemaker. A peacekeeper is someone that avoids confrontation and runs away. That is fear. A peacekeeper is someone that confronts because he wants to bring peace. He brings, that is love. Love is if you know a brother has something against you. If you fear, you walk away. You don't. But if you know that brother's got something, you go to him and say, why are you upset with me? That you can confront that peace. So peace, this talks about reconciliation to restore peace between people and also in nations. Jesus prioritized this ministry of human reconciliation in his statement, showing peacemaking as a birthright and an assignment. So peace is hard won. You can ask the United Kingdom with the fight with Ireland, or the Middle East, or you can ask Mandela, you can ask Gandhi. All these people understand that peace doesn't come at an easy price. You can ask Gideon. Gideon was called mighty man of God to go and fight against the Midianites. And then God said, I am the God of peace. But God had called him to go and war because he wanted to bring peace. Peace, you cannot be a peacemaker if you don't have peace. Peace comes when you give your worries to God. If you worry, you don't have peace in your heart. God has called us to be peacemakers. Peacemaker is also someone that reconciles people back to God. So once again, you can only truly receive peace when you're in Christ. In that place, you will know God's presence, His peace, because you put your trust, your hope, everything that you have completely in Christ. That is what a peacemaker is. A peacemaker will always reach out to people to bring them in, to come to know Jesus, to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. That will be a peacemaker. This is all to do with God's heart for us. If you are that, you will be called sons of God. Hebrews 12 says, pursue peace with all people. Pursue peace with all people, and then end holiness with which no one will see God. So you won't see God if you don't pursue peace and holiness. John 14 verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So Jesus, there's a completely different peace that he gives to us. And then Colossians 3 verse 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Okay, now to go back to Matthew 5 verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And now it gets really tough, because we will be blessed when we get persecuted for righteousness' sake. When we do the things that God do, and to be persecuted is when someone chases you extensively and this intense striving against you. So it continues and continues and it continues. That's what persecution means. These bad things start happening with you all the time. That's persecution. When you're being persecuted because you stand for Christ, God says, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Hebrews 5 says, although Jesus was a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. So there's something amazing about suffering. It's not nice, but it's something that God does work in us when we're going through suffering. But I just maybe want to say, when you're being persecuted, you must trust that God is good. You must believe it. You must speak it, because you're going to fall. If you don't speak it, if you don't declare, God is good, God is faithful, God is in control in the name of Jesus, even if it doesn't feel like it, you feel you want to be torn out completely, you must declare that, because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to believe that God is not good, that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't care for you, that God puts this upon you. When he gets that, you will probably lose your faith when he gets that right. Then Matthew 5 says, verse 11 says, blessed are you when others revile or insult you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. So we will be blessed when people speak against us. And this is to heap insults on someone, to denounce, to find fault, to rebuke. We will be blessed when this happens. And then verse 12 really challenges most Christians, me including. Rejoice and be glad. When this happens, we must rejoice and be glad. We must praise God and say, thank you that I'm going through suffering. And he says, for your reward is great in heaven. There's a reward in heaven when we do these things. In faith, we must say, God, I don't understand, but thank you that you are with me, that you are good, that you are allowing this, but that you in control, that I surrender completely with you. For our reward is great in heaven. I also believe there's a reward on earth as well. When we allow God, when we go through suffering, not to fall. You need much prayer. Come, let people pray for you. But I really believe you can become that son of God, that man that understands what my relationship with God is. Nothing can move me. Doesn't matter what the world brings to me, I will stand because of who God is. Now, I just want to share a few other scriptures on where it says blessed. But Jesus said to Thomas in John 20, he said, you have believed because you've seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen me yet. They have believed. So you guys are blessed because you believe. You haven't seen Jesus. Maybe in a dream or in a vision, some of you maybe, but most of us haven't seen him, but you believe. And Jesus says you will be blessed. And I just want to say something about faith as well. That faith is, you must believe that God is good when things are bad. That is faith. That good things are to come when things are bad around you. That is faith. It's like people saying submission. Yes, I will submit when I agree. That's not submission. It's when you don't agree. That's when submission comes in. Faith is the same. When you don't see the end, but you have faith because God is good, that God's plans to me is to prosper me, to give me a future and a hope. My eyes haven't seen, my ears haven't heard, my mind can't conceive what God has in store for me when you're struggling with cancer. That is faith. When you start speaking that over yourself. Then, our faith starts with repentance. Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then forgiveness is part of that. When we start repenting, when we start forgiving. It says, Romans 4 verse 7 says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. So when you repent, you become blessed. When you forgive, you become blessed. That stronghold and that devil and the demons that's holding you down, they've got to flee because you repent and you forgive. There's no condemnation, but learn to repent and to forgive. This is maybe what the extreme message of the grace message sometimes does, that you don't have to repent anymore. But the Bible says, blessed are you if your deeds are forgiven. Then Romans 4, verse 20 says, no unbelief made him waver. This is Abram. So he didn't have unbelief concerning the promise of God. And he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. So Abram was fully convinced. And this is what we must be. We must be fully convinced that God is able to do what He has promised to do to us in this word. And that is why his faith was counted to Abram as righteousness. But the words were not written for Abram's sake only, but also for ours. It will be counted to us who believe in Him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised up for our justification. So the promises in this Bible is for us in faith, and you'll be blessed when you believe these words. Now, on this topic, these words, Revelations 1:3 says, blessed, the favor of God and man is on the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So, read the word aloud. If you hear it and you keep what is in it, you will be blessed. John 13:17 said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And Revelation 22 says, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of this prophecy in this book. Now, this is probably the most amazing thing ever, the word of God. This lady that came with one of our Zed's friends, she wanted to give a testimony, and we wasn't sure how it worked out, but it just worked out perfectly because God is in control. And then she gave a testimony. And she said, she's not in our church, she's from, I don't know what church she is, but she's definitely full of the Spirit of God. She started speaking about Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. And then she said, she talked about seed, and that if you want to harvest, you must plant seed, and you must diligently plant the seed so that you can get a harvest. And if you take one seed and you plant that seed, if it's a milli, then a milli, and there's many seeds that come from that, from one seed. So if you plant many, you'll have, your harvest gets bigger and bigger. And then she said, but if you live on the other side, the seeds that you plant will bring forth another harvest, but this is a very negative harvest. And this harvest will destroy, and it will destroy you. So what happened to her was her mother had an affair with a man that was married, and he didn't want anything to do with them as a family. And she was brought up like this, and her father married a man, and this man was hard, and he was not a nice guy. And then one day he came, and he shot her mother in the heart, and he shot himself. Now she's in school, she's got nowhere to go, and she went to an orphanage. 18 years, they said, you must go and find work. So she went to go and find work. And then she said, because the seed in her life was sown to the world, she was reaping a harvest to the world. And all these bad things were happening to her, and she didn't understand why it's happening. And she said her friends were saying to her, oh my word, my boyfriend left me. And she's like, oh my word, I don't have food to eat. Then she fell in love with this guy who came out of a rehab, heroin. He used to be a heroin addict, and he got saved in the rehab. And then this man relapsed when they got married, and they had a little baby. And then they lost everything because he had to maintain his drug habit, and she had a baby. And then she got saved, and then someone discipled her properly and said, "These are the promises of God." And you, this is seed, and you must plant this seed. And she said, it didn't happen overnight. It took a long time, because the harvest, the ground was full of this negative harvest of the world, and God had to come and gently remove all this filth that was planted over many years. And He could cleanse all of that, and then she could plant the seed, because she was starting to read the word. And she was proclaiming the word. And she was taking Psalm 23. And she was speaking over it herself, over her husband. And she was speaking these words over him all the time in faith. And now her husband got saved again. 5 years. He's cleansed from heroin. A fourth baby's on its way. Their finances, everything turned around for them. Because she started speaking, doing, and hearing the word of God. Blessed are those who read aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear, and blessed are those who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. I just want to give you a prophecy that was given to us by this prophet. His name is Moses. In Deuteronomy 30:9 says, and the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers. And verse 10 says, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And verse 16 says, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. And then very important, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you, that you have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. I really believe this is what God is saying to us. But it starts here. It starts in faith, doing and keeping the word of God. That God wants to bless us. But we must come to a place of obedience, to the obedience of the word. That you lay down the desires of the world and you say, God, I want to live according to you. That is what he wants to do to you. He doesn't want us to suffer and be persecuted. But sometimes because we've sown to the world, we're reaping a harvest in the world. And God wants to come and remove that harvest and start sowing new seed that we can grow according to what God has desired for us. So I'm just going to ask you to stand that we can just pray. Yes, Father, I thank you that you are a good God. Lord, that you are faithful, Lord. And Lord, that you are saying today to us that you calling heaven and earth to witness against us today, that you set before us life and death, blessing and curse. And that you want us to choose life, that you want us to choose blessing. But Lord, that I really believe you're saying that we must return to you, Lord. That the harvest of the flesh of the world can be removed. Here, dat hier die stroopers kan instuur om my grond weer om te dorwe, Here, in die naam van Jesus. So dat ons kan saad saai wat van U af is, wat die woord is. What the word of God. That we can sow and live according to the word of God. That we can be blessed, Lord. Lord, that we can be changed, Lord, to a place where we walk in a poor spirit, Lord. That we understand how dependent we are on you, Lord. That we walk in humility, Lord. That we are teachable. That we can reach out to you and say, Lord, you are in control of my life. I'm not in control, Lord. Lord, that we understand that we are meek. But it means that we hold ourselves in because we put our trust in you. We don't freak out when bad things happen and we slander and speak negatively against people, Lord. But we say, God, thank you that you're in control. And I just give this back to you, Lord. Lord, that we can walk in righteousness, Lord, because of our faith, Lord, but also because we're doing the right things, Lord. Because your spirit comes in the name of Jesus and transform us to be like you. Lord, that we walk in mercy, Lord. That we have a pure heart, Lord. Because we all want to see you, Lord. We want to see you. Lord, that we are peacemakers, Lord. That we bring peace. Where we go, we bring and deposit peace in that place. That there's peace in our hearts. There's peace in our houses. There's peace on our children, on our wives, on our marriages, Lord. Because you say, blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. Lord, and when we go through persecution, that we can rejoice and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that they're persecuting me for your righteousness' sake. Thank you that there's a reward, Lord, in heaven for me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and repent of our sin. That we can come before you to forgive those who have dealt negatively against us. Because we understand if we do that, we're actually blessed. Because you allowing these things because you want us to be blessed. Thank you, Jesus, that You are a good God. And Father, I pray for the gift of faith on every person here, Lord. To walk in faith, Lord. To know that as that song had said, Lord, that you can move the mountains, Lord. And we can stand in your authority because we have faith, Lord. That no sickness, no disease, Lord, no enemy, no disaster can come and destroy that what you want in our lives, Lord. That we walk according to the word of God. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord God, for people this morning to choose life. To choose blessing. I want to give you an invitation. If you need to forgive and you need to repent, that you just come forward and bring it into the light. Because your spiritual walk will go nowhere, nowhere, nowhere. You will not grow. God will not listen to your prayers. If you have offense in your heart, if there's sin in you, if there's unforgiveness in your heart, God can't work with you because that's the first thing He said. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Himself said, that's the first sermon, that's the first thing that He said. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If there's anyone that needs to repent of stuff, I'm not going to ask you because this is too serious to just raise up your hand to bring it into the light. That you can come forward. If there's any person here that really need just to come back to that place of wanting to read the word, wanting that you don't, maybe don't believe that God's word really applies to you, that you don't have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you just want to come into God's presence because you hear all these miracles, but nothing applies to you. And I want to say to you, it's because of faith. It's because you don't believe the word of God. It's because you don't read the word. It's because you're living in the world. And Jesus Himself said, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That God says He wants to take you out of the world and He wants you to be reconciled to Him. So if anyone want to respond on that, don't look at other people. Just come forward if you need to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning.
I just believe that there's, in Acts, there's that scripture, Acts 19. Earlier on, few called out people for prayer for sickness and diseases. And there were a lot of you who actually, they want to come, but you sort of like hesitate. But I just believe this morning to tell you that there's a place where you can stand in the gap for a sick child or a sick father or a sick mother. I believe here some people here today, you need to come and stand in the gap for a sick child. I just have it on my heart. In Acts 19, the Lord says that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. The centurion, when he came to Jesus, he said, you don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word and my slave will be healed. So there's a place where you can come stand in the gap. And I believe right now is that position where you should come. And just come and stand in the gap for that person that needs either deliverance or healing, whatever.